This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
It's Thursday, June 7th here at Gillette Stadium, and I know it's a day early for a Patriots.com Roster Report podcast, but there's a lot going on, so we figured we'd give you an extra day to kind of eat it up and enjoy it. We're in
savor
OTA
it.
Action. Yeah. Savor the information we're about to give to you. We're in the midst of OTAs. Media had access to another practice today at Gillette Stadium. We will get to that in a minute, but first, the transactions and non-transactions of the day.
Speculations, one might say.
Speculations of the day, even though Pro Football Talk didn't read it that way. As they are wont to do, they ran with misinformation and promoted it on their site. That we all love and read every day, I assume. The big news of the day, Markell Carter. Sixth round pick a year ago on the practice squad all of last year. Paid nearly a full salary last year.
After a great appearance on PFW
pounds.
Progress.
We were raving about him. I had set the under over at sacks on six. And if he gets six sacks, it won't be with the Patriots because he was apparently reportedly informed of his release early this morning. The team announced it later. They also released a couple undrafted players while signing veteran free agent tight end Bo Scaife. Which is interesting. If you are keeping track of the roster,
they're hurting at tight end.
They are hurting at tight end, clearly. They went from 90, which they were at. They cut three players, Carter, Operund,
and Melillo, the tight end.
Easy for you to say. And they signed Scaife, so they are now at a minus two as we speak. And in conjunction with practice here at Gillette Stadium today, one player who was absent from the practice field and kind of created a little bit of new age media controversy on the Twittersphere and internet and all that crap. Chad Ochocinco was not on the practice field for the workout. Then reports after practice, people had reported that he was here at the stadium and left. Some speculated that maybe he was cut. Who knows what's going on?
Part of that had to do with the fact that on his official Twitter feed, the description under his name used to say New England Patriots wide receiver, something along those lines. It was removed and summarily put back up again later after speculation got out there.
As is so often the case, Adam Schefter, who does, unlike Pro Football Talk, a fine job of accurate reporting for ESPN, got to the bottom of it. He was indeed at the stadium. He did indeed leave to go to an eye doctor appointment. So as of right now, Chad Ochocinco is a member of the New England Patriots. Any rumors of his demise were a little too soon.
Premature.
Because that could come later in the summer, as we've been all speculating for a year plus now in this struggle for him to pick things up in New England. But elsewhere on the OTA field, quickly I'll run through a few attendance issues. Also absent for the first time was Aaron Hernandez. That did not create quite as much speculation or uproar. Brad Herman, an undrafted rookie tight end, was on the field until he was carted off with what appeared to be a lower leg injury. Most of the same guys were working out with trainers, a group that includes Rob Gronkowski, Matthew Slater, Tracy White, and now Sebastian Vollmer and Logan Mankins. This was the first time they had worked out on the field in front of the media with the trainers. So that Brandon Spikes is also
Did get eyes on him today.
Returning to the practice field was Joseph Addai after spending last week with the trainers. On the practice field for the first time, Jeremy Ebert, the wide receiver out of Northwestern, who had to wait until his school graduated, ended, or whatever, based on the NFL rule, and we're not sure exactly where that stood. But he was on the practice field this week. And Bo Scaife was on the practice field, although very much struggling.
Looked like he hadn't been on one for a while.
Yeah, he did some stuff in the bubble before we saw him, which I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say they worked him really hard, and he was tired from that. When he came out, the offense had to run a couple penalty laps. He lagged way behind the group. Was talking with Jim Whalen, was bent over, helmet off, then actually left kind of the practice field with Whalen, was really struggling, really looked almost distressed because he was struggling so much. But beyond all that attendance issues, the story of the day, Eric, I guess, was the offense and their inefficiency and getting chewed out.
Yeah, it was, we haven't seen Josh McDaniels around here for the last couple of years. Obviously, he was on out doing his own thing. He's back now, and he made himself heard today, Andy, and I don't think for the reasons that we really like to see around here. The offense, a lot of misfirings, a lot of substitution problems was, I think, what we seemed to pick up. And as you pointed out on the radio show earlier today, PFW in Progress, if the coordinator is not getting the offense coordinated, the head coach moving up the chain is not going to be too happy about that. And we heard some colorful language coming out of his mouth today as well. And you know what? Look, these things happen. We see it in training camp. We don't normally see it too much in OTAs, but more in training camp. There's one or two days where one side of the ball gets the better of the other one. And, you know, a lot of times it's the defense taking laps because they've made mistakes. Today it was the offense. And again, it's early June. It's OTAs. They don't even have pads. They don't even have practice jerseys on. So there's a little bit of room for, you know, you can cut them a little bit of slack at this point. But Tom Brady, as we know, competitive as they come, and is not too happy with what he's seeing out there either.
Right. And we know how he gets when he gets fired up.
Yes.
And he was a little fired up today, which is understandable when apparently they were having some troubles with the substitutions and various things. But we also have to keep in mind, I know they're perfectionists, Belichick and Brady.
Right.
It is a OTA session. It's an installation process here. It's non-contact.
Right.
It's the foundation that's being laid. You know, for next week, you're expected to know more when it's the mandatory stuff for minicamp. And then certainly by the time we all return to the practice fields for training camp.
The one thing that I will say maybe is throwing this off a little bit too is they rely so much in this offense on the tight ends now. And they're without their top two tight ends. They're working, you know, we said Brad Herman, the rookie free agent, got carted off. So they're not even working. Daniel Fells hasn't seen the field. They're not even working with their top four tight ends right now. They're taking a last year undrafted rookie in Alex Silvestro,
defensive
lineman, converted to a tight end, and Bo Scaife, who looked like he was having trouble with his conditioning.
Right.
So that might have had a little something to do with the problems they were having, that they're not dealing with two of the key components of their offense are the two tight end formations.
And even, you know, the running backs are young and or new with a dye. And, you know, we talked about on PFW in Progress, they went to a 2-minute drill and Shane Vereen was the back lined up, the single back behind Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play a lot last year, missed a lot of training camp. So, you know, there's a lot going on, these new receivers, whether it be Brandon Lloyd and some of those guys. So there's a lot going on there, but clearly Belichick and Brady were not happy with the situation.
And just to get back to the tight ends thing for a minute, and Bo Scaife, in my mind, if, because they had signed Daniel Fells, and we all figured, well, a veteran like that, he clearly has a role as the third tight end, blocking, whatnot. If he's not available and they need bodies for OTAs, you sign a guy like the Melillo kid, who they brought in last week, just a body. Just, you know, they take Silvestro, they convert him, whatever. If they're going out and looking for a guy with the bona fides of a Bo Scaife, guy who's been in the league, he's had some production, that to me says that it's more than just they need a camp body.
Right, I agree.
That there's something a little deeper going on there, and they really need some quality depth behind Hernandez and Gronkowski.
Right, and yeah, you have to think some whatever's going on with Fells, we haven't seen him on the OTA practice field, has to be closer to long-term than it is to short-term.
Right.
I don't know that it's, you know, season-ending or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if he were going to be out there next week, I think you might see
the
situation
waste their time.
Handled differently.
Exactly.
But as it stands today, you're right. We don't know that we're going to probably not going to see Gronkowski out there on the actual practice field with his teammates next week. May or may not see Hernandez based on he missed
practice
today.
Yeah, we don't know what his absentee reason
probably not going to
see
Fells. We haven't seen him yet. So, yeah, you're well down your depth chart there. And this is a team that was pretty fortunate that for most of last year they got by with two right up until the end when, unfortunately, Gronkowski got hurt late in the year. So, yeah, there's a depth issue at tight end there for a team that supposedly, you know, has the two best tight ends in football. Right now on the practice field, they don't have that. On the other side of the football, I thought the defense was fine. You know, maybe that was just because the offense was so bad.
And
there was so much focus on the offense. Starting to see maybe the depth come together. We were talking about some reports on ESPN Boston, and it seems pretty obvious who your five top defensive backs are right now. And it's guys that either started last year or you brought in to be starters, your corners. Kyle Arrington and Devin McCourty were your starters most of last year. Rozai Dowling is in that mix.
High draft pick, as he was when he started
last year. Patrick Chung is obviously your main
returner.
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Gregory has been out there
high
with that
free agent
as a starting, you know, paid starting money in free agency. So you know, it's starting to come together. The front seven, Lord only knows. When you look on the field, they're in sub packages running. It's what we expected. You know, I don't say this in a frustrated manner, but if you want to know, okay, who's their starting front seven? Who's their sub front? Well,
forget it at this point. Yeah.
You might know by midseason.
Right.
I'm not sure you'll even know by then.
We hardly even knew last season.
Right.
They switched so much. They went and they switched. Not only personnel groupings, they switched fronts.
Fronts, 3-4-4-3, packages, off, you know, everything you could name. And I think you're going to see that again. And I don't have a problem with it. I think that's probably when you don't have proven personnel in specific roles, that's what you have to do. You have to be, you know, package based and game plan based on week to week. But we have enjoyed, I think, our chance to see the early phases here of practice.
Sure.
And look forward to 3 days next week.
Absolutely. And looking even more forward to when they actually put pads on and can make some hits, run some plays full time.
Nice.
Jerseys would be great. But just being able to see the defense full speed too. Because, you know, even like right now, it's really difficult to get a handle on who the personnel groupings are because you just can't identify them as quickly without the numbers.
Is that,
you know,
Trevor Scott? Is that Rob Ninkovich?
Exactly.
The guys that are easier, like Gallery and Robert Carpenter, the guys who have the really long hair that stand out, obviously.
And the unique body types.
Right.
And they're not going full speed because they can't.
Right.
So it's a little
the Seahawks and want to get in trouble.
Well, yeah. But, I'm looking forward to, maybe a little bit more of a stepped up pace next week during the mini camp. And then, you know, 6 weeks after that, we've got, training camp that starts end of July.
Coming down the road here. Summer is wrapping up. The players.
We haven't even gotten started with summer.
Well, unfortunately, it's almost over. But the players are enjoying it as money. Gerard Warren said it's
big money.
It's football or fishing. That's all he likes to do. And right now it's football. I'm sure in July, early July, it'll be fishing. And then it'll be back to football again. Speaking of back, we will be back next Friday, coming off 3 days of minicamp action for another podcast. Until then, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.